So how many people are tuckered out from the holidays? Yeah, me too. I think, honey, we had 5 parties in like 5 days, running around Grand Rapids and back and all over. It was very nice because a couple weeks ago, my dad was back in town. If you didn't know, they moved to Arizona for the winter. And it was really nice to be with them. He listened to the last time I preached, and he graded me. It was still nice to be with him. We'll see what happens today. I'm sure I'll get a telephone call later. But it's so nice to be able to come and just teach the Word of God to you guys. Today's going to be maybe a little bit different than what I usually do, because I really want to focus on, and it's probably a message you guys have heard before, but we're going to talk about Matthew 16 today and the church. That's what we're going to talk about. So the history of this church is great. And it's fun to look back as we are going to celebrate 100 years this coming year of Brien/Anchor Point Bible Church. I want to start out this way today, though. I need you to answer these 3 questions for me. What is the best thing that happened to you this year in 2019? We have 3 days left. What was the best thing that happened to you this year? Secondly, what is the saddest thing that happened to you this year? Lastly, what is the one lesson that you learned in 2019? See, when I go back and I read these questions and I think about these questions, I reflect on what happened this year in my life, what happened with my family. There's a lot of things that I wish I could change in 2019. I got shingles. That was awesome. It was the best. And that was due to stress. So they think. It was the first year, full year, that we had custody of our boys. Holy change. 2 teenagers, 1 16, thinks he rules the world. It's pretty awesome. Okay? Great kid. Big adjustment, going from 4 to 6. Not just living situation, but grocery bill. Huge. But I feel like when we go back and we ask ourselves any questions of what was the biggest lesson learned in 2019, what was the happiest thing that happened in my life? What's the saddest thing that happened in my life? When you ask these questions and you look back at the past, I think it forces you to look at the future. Because there's things in there that I would change, for sure. And there's big changes coming. Well, I say that. I don't make New Year's resolutions. But I did. Oh boy, I'm going to tell you guys all this. So now I'm going to have like 100 people keeping me accountable. So I did sign up for 2 Biggest Losers to lose some weight. And that's going to be a big change for me. Because hopefully when I'm done, I can bend over, tie my shoe, and not gasp for breath when I get up. But I think when we ask ourselves those questions, it forces us to look towards the future and say, what needs to change? What doesn't need to change? What can I tweak a little bit? See, again, so I grew up in that house on the left. That's the old building. Great history with Brien Church. Awesome history. Things that will never change. And I'll tell you right now up front, the one thing that will never, ever, ever change with this church is that we speak the truth, the Word of God, and that's what we preach. That will never change. We have been now 1 full year of Anchor Point Bible Church. And no longer do I accidentally say, oh yeah, Brien Anchor Point Bible Church. It has become fluid. It has become part of my language. And I rarely say anymore, and not to offend, but I rarely say anymore, we used to be Berean Church. Because we are now Anchor Point Bible Church. And that is truth. And it's those changes. And there's a reason why we look for change, why there's changes. And don't let me scare you, because there's not like huge changes coming. Okay? Because I know some of you are getting a little nervous. Okay? But a welcome change, Anchor Point Bible Church, that is the billboard that we had up on Seaway Drive and on near Sherman and Seaway Drive down by Grand Haven Road. A welcome change. So, in that, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to Matthew chapter 16. I will be talking about the church this morning. And it made me nervous because I don't really, I do a lot of studying, a lot of reading when I speak. And I only print out what you guys see up on there for my notes. And I look down while we were singing and I'm like, I forgot my notes. So Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13. It says, now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter replied, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So he asked his disciples, he said, who do you say that the Son of Man is? Kind of like a test. Let me quick set this up for you. So they have left Galilee. They have gone 1,100 feet up. They've walked 25 miles in 2 days, and he sits down with them because there's probably not a big crowd, and he gets intimate with them. Because he's on his way. He is on his way to face the mobs that are going to kill him, hang him on the cross. So he starts with this question, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they answer, John the Baptist, risen from the dead. That's what Herod said. If you go on and read in chapter 14, John the Baptist has been killed. Herod thinks it's John the Baptist. He's come back from the dead. Then people say Elijah, and that can be found in Malachi 4:5. People think Malachi was a great prophet, Elijah, he was a great prophet, he's coming back. That's who this man is. Then some thought him to be Jeremiah, which is kind of a Jewish legend. They think that Jeremiah hid the tabernacle in a cave and that he was going to just appear one day, and the tabernacle was going to appear one day. And that's what people thought. And then some just said, one of the prophets. People loved Jesus because he could relate to them. And they were watching all these miracles happen. But they couldn't grasp the fact that he was God. And as much as flattering probably it was for Jesus that they said, well, you know, you're Jeremiah, you're Elijah, you know, you're John the Baptist. It's wrong. And that's easy for people to do. You hear the same thing these days. Oh, yeah, I believe in God. I believe that Jesus existed. But, there's nothing more to it than that. And then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" He asked them directly, sitting with them. And you know, he kind of skipped over the first question. He said, "So who do people say I am?" And they answered, and he's like, "Okay, who do you guys say I am?" And Simon Peter, you know, a little aggressive, that man. You know, don't forget he's the one that walked on water. You know, just very vocal. Had a little bit of a temper. He just jumped right up. And he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And, you know, in the first, when we first read this, it said, you know, that, "But who do you say that I'm saying, Peter? You are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah." Okay, son of Jonah. Okay, I don't know about you, but when my mom, when she used my middle name, it was either really bad or it was really good. Stephen James Carlson, Stephen James. Great job today. And that's what Jesus does. He just doesn't say, "Good job, Peter." He goes on and he says, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Blessed are you. Because it's not flesh and blood that has revealed this to you. It is God the Father who has revealed this to you." And Peter recognized that the Son of Man is the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. He is God's own Son. He is the Messiah. He is God incarnate, and he is truly man. And he is God, and it's supposed to say, in essence and substance. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, like, that's pretty exciting. Because I don't know if you would be necessarily sitting in this pew today if you didn't believe that. And that's my prayer for you, and I know that's Pastor Rob's prayer for you, is that you believe that. We just got done celebrating Christmas and the birth of Jesus Christ. That is God incarnate, God in the flesh, who he remained absolutely sinless in 33 years of his life. And he faced every single thing that we face today. He faced hunger. He faced anger. He faced fear in the sense of, "I don't want to go to the cross. But I know that, God, this is your will. This is what I am to do. This is my purpose on earth. This is why you sent me. And this is what's going to happen." And I feel like we should be absolutely, and I'll say this again in a little bit, honored to be on this earth and part of the church that Jesus established, that Jesus set into motion, that Jesus gave to us. And I feel like it should just be this thing where, like, we're just excited to be here. That we're excited to be able to come and to worship Jesus. That we're able to come and worship the Almighty God freely. And then he says this, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I don't know, that kind of gives me chills. Because with my relationship with Jesus Christ, I am a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And nothing, nothing that is evil, nothing, no matter what sin I commit, thank God for grace. Because of my relationship and my trust and my belief in Jesus Christ and God incarnate, and the Almighty Savior has saved me from the gates of hell. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, yes, yes, you are absolutely correct. You are absolutely right in saying that I am Christ, that I am the Son of the Almighty God. And now, because what he's saying is, so now what's going to happen is I'm going to go to Jerusalem and I'm going to be crucified and I'm going to die. But then I'll be raised from the dead and hell has nothing against me. And that's going to come later. We know this. So this is the first mention of the church, okay? He says to Peter, I'm Peter, on this rock, I'm going to establish my church. Peter, Petros, here's some little Greek for you, a little meaning here, ready? This always bored me when people would start talking, oh, the Greek means that. It's actually really interesting. See, she likes it. It denotes a loose stone or pebble. Petros. See, because there's some a little bit of controversy around some circles. That Jesus saying, Peter, I'm going to establish my church on you. No. 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 Petros, Peter, that we're talking about here, is masculine form. And then you have the rock that he talks about, on this rock. And that's Petra, not to be confused with the 80s band. How many people listen to Petra? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Whew, that just brought back some weird memories. So Petra, and that stands for, it denotes a rock or a cliff. It's firm and immovable. That's the rock that he's saying. Petra refers to the Christ. The church is not built on Peter, but on Jesus Christ. Nothing else. On Christ. 1 Peter, we're going to quick run through a couple of these. 1 Peter 2, 6 through 7, as the scripture expresses it. See, I'm sending Christ to be carefully chosen precision cornerstone for my church, and I will never disappoint those who trust in him. Yes, he is very precious to you who believe, and to those who reject him, well, the same stone that was rejected by the builders has become the cornerstone, the most honored and important part of the building. Jesus is the cornerstone, the absolute cornerstone of the church. 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5, come to Christ, who is a living foundation of rock upon which God builds through men have spurned him. He is very precious to God, who has chosen him above all others. And now you have become living building stones for God's use in the building his house. What's more, you are his body, his holy priests. So come to him, you who are acceptable to him because of Jesus Christ, and offer to God these things that please him. Okay. Again, Christ, the living foundation of rock upon which God builds. He's precious to God. He was chosen him above all others. And now he has become the living building stones for God's use. You have become that. So you have Jesus, who is the absolute cornerstone. He is the absolute foundation of the church. In other scripture, Paul describes him, and we talked about it earlier, Leah did, as he is the head of the body. So being the cornerstone, he is the one that holds everything together. And we are like Peter, those pebbles that build the church. So he goes on to say, in scripture, so it's interesting because in the Gospels, church is only used a couple times, the word church. Church is ekklesia. Here we go. Here's some more Greek for you. Okay? In the Gospels, it's mentioned a couple times. In all of the New Testament, church, ekklesia, is mentioned 114 times. Derives from two Greek words, ek, which means to, out from and to, and kaleo, which stands for to call. So what it's saying, and this is a word that's familiar to Jews and Greeks back then, so everybody understood it. He says, so the church is the assembly of people who have been called out of the world. Listen to that. So, you know how we're described as aliens? We're described as foreigners to this world. Because when we accept Christ as our personal Savior, we are no longer of this world. This is a temporary place. This is a temporary space that we're just occupying for now. Because our true place is with Jesus. And see, and what I'm saying here is, we are, when we accept Christ, we are called out of the world by God. An ecclesia is a group of people, an assembly gathered together that we know as Christians, as the church. And you know, it's not necessarily, the church is not, it's not the building. It's not the other building down the street. It's not a culmination of GGF churches. It's not a culmination of, you know, even if you meet in a mall. We call that church. We call this building a church. It's the culmination of an assembly of people gathered together that have the same mentality and the same heart. And Pastor Rob did awesome, I think, when he... you should just do a mystery box every week. Did awesome when he talked about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That when we accept Christ, we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit, and he guides us. And when he does that, we have become part of the church, part of what Jesus was talking about to Peter. He said, I am now building my church. It's going to happen in the future. And I'm going to use you. And I'm not talking about Peter. I'm saying he's going to use you. He's going to use me. He's going to use our kids. He's going to use people that we come in contact with, that we share our faith with, that we tell them about the hope and the peace that God gives us, how my life once was, how my life was when I accepted Christ, and the future that I get to look forward to because of my relationship with Jesus Christ, that hell can never prevail against me. That's the church. 1 Corinthians 1:2, and this is the Living Bible. It says, the Christians in Corinth, invited by God to be his people and made acceptable to him by Jesus Christ, and to all Christians everywhere, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus Christ and the Lord and theirs. So what he's saying is that this is going to be the church. It's everybody invited by God to be his people, made acceptable by him in Jesus Christ. Because if you don't have Jesus Christ, you are not acceptable to God. That's truth. And what we're saying is when you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, you are now part of the church. You are part of the assembly of people that have been called out of this world. And we have this future hope of spending eternity with Jesus. Here it is again. And I want you to think about this. There's absolutely no greater honor on this earth than to be part of God's church. And I know some days, especially after the holidays, I'm tired. And I would just like to sleep. Some of you may be sleeping now. But I have, this morning, okay, so this was my morning. So I went to bed, for me, kind of early, like 11, 11:30. Okay, that's early, by 45 minutes, half an hour something. So we have this kid in our house. His name is Xander. So he shares a room with Levi. Well, when Levi's gone and Xander wakes up in the middle of the night, he kind of gets freaked out. So where do you think he goes? Where do you think he goes? Yep. Now there's three in my bed. And last night, it was this. Bam! 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 I'm like in a fight. And at first, I was going to yell at Amanda. And I just felt this tiny little hand. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm woken up. I pick him up. I put him almost on Amanda. And I move as far over to the edge as I can. Like 2 minutes later, I have a foot in my face. And I'm thinking, this cannot be happening today. This cannot be happening tonight. So at 4:30, I get kicked in the face again. I've had enough. I wake up Amanda. I'm like, can you help me? Like, I have to be up in like 2 hours, well, hour and a half. And now I'm wide awake. And there's mornings that it's really hard for me to get up and get out of bed. And even this morning when I know that I'm preaching and I'm thinking, oh, if I could just sleep in for like maybe a half an hour or something longer, and I won't be too late. But then as I sit and I think about what that sentence says, that there's absolutely no greater honor than to be part of God's church. One thing that I love about this church is the people are so friendly. Like, I can't wait to get here and just see your faces. And I'm being honest. Like, it's awesome. Because I know that that's, God has me part of this. God has you part of this. And there's no greater honor than to be part of that. And to know that we get to spend eternity with each other. That should just be like, yes! It's hard sometimes. So my question is, to me and to you, is that do we feel that way? Do we feel honored to be part of this congregation, to be part of the worldwide church, to be part of God's plan that hell will never prevail against us? Are we excited about that? And my answer is yes, I hope so. And if there's one thing that the church must be, it is assembly of people who know and follow the shepherd, that being Jesus, first and foremost. And we do really well with that. We are an assembly of believers, and we all, each and every one of us, as a member of the body of Christ, has a gift that is necessary to the functioning of the church. Okay, I'm winding down here. Did somebody just say amen? No. We as a body of believers, God, and it's again what Pastor Rob talked about. We all have different gifts. It's all throughout Scripture. We all bring something to the table. We all bring something to further the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively and efficiently. That's how God made us. That's how God created us. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 13. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. What I was just saying. Some of us are Jews and some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free, but we all have been baptized into the one body by the Spirit, and we all have share the same Spirit. It's exactly what Pastor Rob said in the mystery box, which is awesome because he had no idea that I was even saying this today. And that's how it works sometimes. We do that sometimes, where God just puts something and he just works it all together. Because it ain't us. Have you seen me do mystery box? But we all are under the same spirit. We all have that the same spirit dwelling within us. So that being said, I've been working on some things. Okay, this is where it becomes practical application. Okay, hopefully. So I, with the board and with Pastor Rob, have been working on some things. And this is just kind of to put this out there to get your minds thinking, okay? Is one thing we're doing is we're starting ministry teams. And I have, I believe, 9 of them. And these are a few. God has a plan for you to be part of Anchor Point Bible Church in one capacity or another. And it's not to come, and again, if I offend you by saying this, I'm sorry. It's not to come and sit in the pew, be fed for a few minutes, and then leave. That's not what the church is. I'm sorry. Not sorry. But that's not what the church is. The church is assembly of believers that are assembled together, that have been called out of the world. This is our temporary spot. And our job is to share the love of Jesus Christ with everybody and anybody that we come in contact with. And that's not easy. I'm a pastor and it's not easy sometimes. But that's what we're to be doing. That's what we're called to do. And in order to do that effectively, we all have to find our gifts, what God has placed in our hearts, and do it together. And do it as an assembly of believers. So that's where these ministry teams come in. I gave these to the board in November. I've given them a few months to look it over. We're going to discuss some more, and we're going to slowly roll these out for this new year. But we're going to have a prayer team. Nothing goes without prayer. Prayer is what makes the wheels turn. Okay? This is a team that is going to pray for the church leaders, the church board, the church. If there's people in the church that need prayer, they can go to the prayer team. They can pray, and they pray for the community. It's a team of people that they pray and pray and pray. And now, mind you, because this is what I don't want to happen, I'm not on the prayer team. I don't have to pray. No, you need to pray. This team is just put together specifically for meeting together whenever they come up with the terms, and they pray. Then we're having a hospitality team. We're going to do a care and support team. We have many of these in place already. Okay? I think I can say this. We're getting rid of the word committees. I don't know about you. I don't like that word. Just because I feel like if I'm on a committee, it's very like, to me, and I'm a little bit outside the box, so it's very like, cut and dry. And I'm more familiar with the word team. It's not so much in a hierarchy. Team, right? You have a captain, you know, it's why we're going to teams. Worship arts team, that's music and PowerPoint and sound and everything else. And we're adding a ton more. Okay, there's 9 total. And I want you to prayerfully consider, and this is all you need to do, is you need to go home, you can sit right now in your pew and say, Lord, I want to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this assembly of believers called Anchor Point Bible Church, and I want to get involved, and I want to do one of these. Because I feel like, Lord, you have gifted me in this area. I feel like if there's a visitor that walks in the door, I can walk right up to him, and I can talk to him, and I can say, man, welcome to Anchor Point Bible Church. We are so glad you're here. What's your name? Where are you from? What do you do? Hey, we have a gift bag for you. It has all our information, everything that we offer as a church. Can I show you where to sit? Can I show you where the coffee is? Can I show you where the bagels are? Did I say bagels right? Okay. It's this exciting thing that we can do together as the assembly of believers. And as we roll those out, I want you to be thinking about those things. And again, we have some in place already. Care and support, we've had several funerals in the last month. And man, does that team work efficiently. And I know Sandy shared a little bit ago about how she's on that team, on that care and support team where she's helping with the funerals. Unfortunately, but praise God, with Al, who's now in the seat next to Jesus, perfect. She was on the other side of it. And she talked about just how efficient that team is and how much it means to her and to the family that we could do that. And that's what it's all about. It's about coming around and being loving and being Jesus-like to our fellow congregation members and to the community. And that's why we're doing ministry teams. So be looking for those. This year, and I asked Pastor Rob if I could plug this a little tiny bit because I don't know all the details, but we're celebrating 100 years of being Assembly of God's people. 100 years! That's unbelievable! You can't believe. So I read, like, a ton. I read ridiculous amounts of books and articles, and I get made fun of at home. You can't believe how fast churches are closing their doors. It's mind-boggling. Yet we've been here 100 years, and I think it's great to look back on the past. It's okay to embrace the past. It's okay to look at the past because that's who we are. But I am so excited about our future. Because I think God is not even close to being done with Anchor Point Bible Church. We just started. And here's the thing, is in that verse that we read in Matthew, it says, hell cannot prevail against us. I'm excited. And when we do the 100 years, he's got some awesome stuff planned that I'm super excited about. And I want you to be looking out for it. I'm not even going to plug, you know, the 100, and I'm going to leave it alone. But you need to be watching out for this stuff. He mentioned it earlier. Where Kmart was, that thing was gone in a week. They're building some medical facilities there, and they are building some apartment buildings. And I know I can say, and I'm gonna call somebody out, a couple people, but Jaeger's. They moved in across the street. And Sandy said, look, there's a church right there. And I think they like it here. They've been coming back. But that's all it takes. But we have an opportunity, church. We have an opportunity that's coming in the near future. I want right now to everybody commit that you pray for whoever it is that enters those apartments and lives those apartments, whoever lives in these condos down here that they're going to be building in the next couple years. I want you to be absolutely bathing those in prayer. And say, who can we reach? Because this should not be kept a secret. Christ, the Son of God, should not be kept a secret. We should not hold it. You know the song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine. That song, are we doing that? And I'm not, and I told Amanda, I said, I have to be really careful because I don't want to talk down, and I don't want to come across like angry. I don't want to come across like we're not doing a good job, because we are. But I think we can do better. It's like practicing basketball or practicing something, making beanbags. You get really good at it. So my challenge to you as a church is, the church was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. God is asking you and me to fellowship with Him and join Him in what He is doing. We should be filled with faith and anticipation. Remember what He did from the Red Sea to the tomb. And I don't know about you, but man, we have a book full of stuff. And when you read that book and you're like, holy cow, I have a personal relationship with this guy. Ooh, gives me chills. Makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. So the title of this sermon was, Ask Not What Your Church Can Do For You, But What Can You Do For The Church? I stole that. I changed a couple words. Might have heard it before. This is an awkward saying, and I struggled with this. And I wrote, ask not what your Lord can do for you, but ask what can you do for the Lord. Because Christ is the cornerstone of the church. And He wants us to love others. He wants us to spread His gospel message to everyone around us. And that is the future of Anchor Point Bible Church. We will be taking the gospel outside of these walls so that people may spend an eternity with our Lord and Savior, and where hell will not prevail against them. And that's what we want. That's what we're commanded to do. By Jesus Christ Himself. So ask not what your Lord can do for you, but what can you do for the Lord to reach others for Him? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you and I thank you so much for who you are. Lord, that we can come and we can worship you freely, that we can talk about these things, that we have such a great example of you. When you lived your life here on earth. Lord, I ask as we leave this morning, as we get ready to ring in the new year, Lord, that our ultimate goal would be to glorify and honor you more than we ever have in our entire lives in 2020. As we celebrate 100 years of this church, of this gathering of Christians, this assembly of Christians, Lord, that this would be, that we would do what you are commanding us to do, that we would do your will, that we would listen to you, and that you would be magnified. Lord, thank you. We love you so much. In Christ's name, amen.